Amen. Amen. I'll be 20 minutes. I'll try and be 20 minutes. Just to let you know, next week we're going to have a Sunday of testimonies. And that was great, Adrian. You know, share more next Sunday. Others share. Because if you don't, I'll have to preach again. Okay? So you won't. So just to let you know. So come and see me at the end of the service or give me a text or a call in the week just to let me know how many people. You know, what God has been doing in this year for you and through you. So it'd be great to hear for mutual encouragement. And then the following Sunday is we're going to be, like we usually do, is share words that we feel God has given us for the next coming year. And that's always been encouragement, prophetic words, and it's helped us to posture us kind of thing to move forward to 2019. So let that do and just let me know that. That'd be great. So, yeah. Introducing the kingdom. We've been looking at, Brad looked at a couple of weeks ago, of the unexpected, like we've heard, and the selflessness and humility of Jesus introducing in his own life the kingdom. And then last week, Jared talked about peace and justice being introduced through Jesus and the kingdom coming to earth. And this morning, you know, I want to talk about joy. Joy. Wasn't that a great song? You know, I mean, I know it's a familiar song, but the tune was great. I really enjoyed the way that was done. And, you know, that really, you know, just blessed me kind of thing. But like Jared, I'm excited about Christmas. Thank you. Although I haven't been listening to carol songs since November. That's a bit excessive. Or is it? I've been asking the Lord, you know, this whole month for myself and for us as a community that God will release joy, increase joy in our lives, would increase rejoicing in our lives, would increase thanksgiving in my life. And sometime in January, I want to, you know, this is kind of a taster to what I want to share even more fuller about rejoicing as a lifestyle in the kingdom, a foundation, especially when we go through suffering and hard times, especially in that. It is critical and vital that we rejoice in all things. But that's for January sometime. Today we're here with the Christmas story. And, you know, just going over the story this year, this last couple of weeks. And it can be familiar with us, right? You know, we can go through the motions and we can miss something of the wonder and the amazement of what the shepherds and Mary must have felt like when they heard that first sound of Jesus. They heard the angels proclaiming, you're going to have a son and you're going to name him Jesus. And he's going to bring great joy to all the people. Not just one or two, but great joy. He's actually going to restore joy to the earth. And it's going to be in a person, and his name is Jesus. And sometimes we can hear that, and yet we know that, and yet it somehow it doesn't grasp us again in a fresh new way. And that's my prayer for me, for us over this season, that we would be asked and pause again in the business of doing the shopping and business of getting all the dinners and the friends and the cards and the presents, all that hustle and hurrying, that we would just take a step back and just pause again at what Christmas means to us and what it can mean to every person on the face of this earth. And Luke 2 shares that story of the message of the good news. And we're going to pick it up in verse 7. As you know, Joseph and Mary were going to Bethlehem, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in a clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is called Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see the things that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he laid in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told. Amazing, amazing. A couple of months ago, at the storefront breakfast, sitting with Mark Soppit, waiting for breakfast, and he asked me a question. Out of the blue, he says, "Dal, what is God stirring in your heart?" I thought at the time, actually, I'm hungry. Stirring in the hunger pains. But I couldn't answer there directly, you know. It was a provoking question. It challenged me to go away and actually take that to heart and ask God. And for me, what God has been stirring in my heart over a number of months is increasing the joy of my salvation. He's increasing the joy of my salvation. What is stirring in your hearts these days? That's a good question to ask. Ask yourself and ask one another over this season of Christmas, over a coffee or family or friends, what is God stirring in your heart? I've asked that question since Mark asked me a couple of times, a couple of people, and that's been a good conversation. It's been a good faith building. It's good to hear other people. What is God stirring in your heart at this time? And that could be added on to next Sunday as you think about that today and throughout this week, that you come back and share, "This is what God is stirring in my heart. This is what God has been doing over X amount of weeks or months or throughout this year." It doesn't have to be many things. It could be. It could be just one thing. For me, it's just increasing in the joy of the Lord. The song that Elias, you've actually resurrected that song, "The Covenant of Grace." It's an old song. "The wonder of your mercy, Lord, the beauty of your grace, that you would even pardon me and bring me to this place. I stand before your holiness. I can only stand amazed. The sinless Savior died to make a covenant of grace." I can't help but when I hear that song or sing that song that I get the Randy weepy eye syndrome. I'm in the car this week just kind of whistling and humming that song and tears welling up. The wonder, the amazement. What must does it have been like for Mary and Joseph and the shepherds hearing that sound of heaven coming down to earth? of bringing great joy, bringing wonderful news. It's wonderful news, exciting news. And in verse 13, and suddenly there appeared with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts. So just one angel, Gabriel, talking to them, declaring, proclaiming, and all of a sudden, heaven emptied itself of all the angels, multitudes. How much is multitude? It's a lot. Multitudes of angels kept singing and praising and sang that wonderful song this morning. Multitudes. There was joy coming to earth. There was a release of joy and rejoicing in such a way that maybe never happened in the history of the time. The 400 years waiting for God to speak. All of a sudden, all this activity of angels to Zacharias, to Elizabeth, to Mary, to the shepherds, coming down and declaring to the world great joy, great joy. Graham Cook puts it this way: joy is the language of heaven. Joy is the atmosphere of heaven. Joy is the message of the kingdom. Joy is the expression of the kingdom here on earth. Joy is who God is. I like that. Joy is who God is. Now we know this time of year it's not joy for everybody. There's people that are sad, have lost ones, lost their jobs. More suicides this season than any time in the year. More depression at this time of the year than any other time for some people. It's sad. It's sad. But joy was being restored 2,000 years ago. Joy was on offer for people at this season. Every one of us are carriers of his joy. We did that in a small measure on Wednesday. You know, giving out those Christmas baskets, the joy on people's faces, expressing. Just that simple act of kindness made a difference. And that's just a small way. We do it in many other ways. But we are carriers of his joy because God is joy. God lives in me. So therefore, I'm a carrier of joy. And what's your favourite classical Christmas movie? Mine is It's a Wonderful Life. Maybe not. How many of you actually know that film? It's an old film. Oh, no. You've watched it. 1946. It's a Wonderful Life. And everybody's got their classic. It was just voted number one in the UK. I just saw it on the internet. Number one, all-time classic Christmas movie. The next one is one of my favourites, Elf. There you go. I've got a better response from now, I know. So, yeah, that was a good one. That's a good one. We've got both of them. And the actor is James Stewart. And I just read the kind of the summary. George Bailey is the character he plays. Has so many problems. He's thinking about ending it all. And it's Christmas. As the angels discuss George, we see his life in flashbacks. As George is about to jump from a bridge, he ends up rescuing his guardian angel, Clarence, who then shows George what his town would have looked like if he hadn't been for all his good deeds over the years. It might sound dark for a festival classic, but the theme of the film is redemptive, love, and generosity of spirit, making it a joy to watch. If you haven't got it, rent it. Whatever, it's on TV, it's usually on every Christmas. Bob said, 9 p.m. Pardon me? Tomorrow night, 9 p.m. There you go. They've even put colour to it. It was black and white. And don't tell me that I watched it the first time, black and white. You know, I'm not that old. But then let's move over to Mary's encounter with the angel, Mary's encounter with God at this time. You know, we've got to remember, you know, that it was so unique, her, you know, being pregnant before marriage, before all that, out of wedlock. It was so unique. Today in society, 50% of babies are born out of wedlock. Wow. But then, it was unexpected. It was unique. And you can just imagine the frown, imagine the shame, imagine on Mary's kind of, you know, people looking at her. But Mary heard the word of God. And in verse 39, you know, when she heard the news, she's going to have a baby, and she heard the news of her auntie Lizzie was going to have a baby also. The first thing she did was to hurry to visit her. And that was a 60-mile track. In kilometres, that was, if you really want to know, and is 96 in those days, 96. She hurried to share the news with Elizabeth, her auntie, Auntie Lizzie. And then in verse 40, as she entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." And then Mary sang and said, "My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Saviour, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondservant." Now, growing up in England, I've been to a few Anglican churches, and this song is sung, you know, like this. "My soul has blessed the Lord. I will rejoice in God my Saviour." Like that, just very monotone. This was not Mary's response. The original meek, cheeky. See, the original meaning is leaping and skipping. One of excessive, extravagant behavior, more than is necessary or normal. Unrestrained skipping. Yeah. It's getting excited about Christmas. It's getting excited again about the true meaning of Christmas. It's letting go of the familiarity. It's letting those songs that we know so well bubble up within us. Those words that God spoken at that time rise up in us again in a fresh new way. Let it be extravagant. Let it be excessive. We do everything else at Christmas. We're excessive. Drink, food, party, whatever. Let's be excessive in our rejoicing. Let's be excessive in our thanksgiving. Let's be excessive in our joy of rejoicing. Wow. That is amazing, the angels coming. We haven't heard anything for that much time. And all of a sudden, everything changed. Everything changed for the shepherds. When they heard the good news, they said, "We've got to hurry and tell somebody else. We've got to see this child for ourselves." And they went away praising and rejoicing. It wasn't just a one-time event in their life. I believe it was a lifestyle that changed them forever. Changed them forever of rejoicing and I'd be amazed that we actually, heaven has come down and met us. And it's in a person, and his name is Jesus. And Jesus says, when he got older, "My joy can be in you, and I want it to be full. I don't want to be half measured." From God's point of view, he wants my joy, our joy, to be full. How full of joy am I today? I'm not totally full. So therefore, I need to keep on asking. How do we get full of joy? Is John 15 again. As we abide in his presence, as we remain in him, he says, you can ask and my joy can be made full in you. Jesus was spoken of by Isaiah 61, hundreds of years before he was born. In Isaiah 61, it says of Jesus, Isaiah said of Jesus, that he would give people the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. It's an instead of. It's not making good or patching up. It's actually replacing something with something else. Instead of mourning, God wants us to be full of joy. Instead of fainting, God wants us to be filled with praise. It's an instead of. It's a replacing. And it's a continual thing in our lives that we can actually live and rejoice in. Mary's song is one of excessive joy and delight. Mary's response was one of amazement, wonder, and thanksgiving. This Christmas, I want that. And it is, in some small measure, it's just come alive over the last month. The amazement, the wonder of salvation, the wonder of actually heaven emptying itself for mankind and giving us the gift of a son, giving us a gift of salvation, giving us a gift of righteousness, gift of forgiveness, and joy should be our normal response and delight. And rejoicing is an outward manifestation of an inward presence of joy. Rejoicing is an outward manifestation of an inward presence of joy. The shepherds went back rejoicing. There it is. There it is. There it is. Joy to the world. Joy to our hearts. Let's ask the question, what's God stirring in our hearts? To ourselves first, and then to one another. Let joy, excitement, the amazement, the wonder of Christmas, the true meaning that we celebrate. This morning we celebrate in 2 days' time. And let it not just be an event for this season, but it can become more of a lifestyle and for next year. But more than that, next January. So why don't we just stand and just pray and then hand it back to Jared.